Good morning. First up, as always, I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity to speak to you guys today. I always enjoy and cherish every opportunity that I get to especially put together one of these lessons, so I hope that we can all benefit from it and learn together and edify each other this morning. We're in the midst of a lot of change in this world. It can be really hard to handle. There are so many things coming at you all the time, both from a national level, like if we think about it, just recently we had the Gay Pride Month, and nationally there were parades and there were posters, and you couldn't go anywhere without seeing a rainbow flag or something like that, right? And that's something that we wouldn't see 5 or 10 years ago. But even at a local level, on something smaller, like the Jameses are moving to Decatur. And that can be hard to handle too, right? So they're all different kinds of changes, and we have to deal with this kind of stuff all the time. And so we need to really have a good understanding of what God wants us to do when change occurs. So this morning, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about change. We're going to examine both positive and negative change, and then we're going to talk about what God would have our reactions be to that change in our lives. So first off, we're going to start by talking about positive change and reacting to positive change in a positive way. And this is the most natural to us. We all like congratulating people. We all like celebrating. It feels good. It comes easy to us. But there are right and wrong ways to do this. The first thing that we need to do is to remember where good things come from. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect thing is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. All good things come from God, and we know that. But that's not one of those things that we can keep to ourselves. We need to let other people know about God and his blessings in our lives. And I'm not saying we need to brag when something good happens or when we're blessed, but whenever we're in our situation where we're discussing something good that happened in our life or we're talking about the blessings that we've been given, we need to give all the credit to God. Because really, if we think about it, without God, we are nothing. We are in a miserable, terrible state without him in our lives. And we can't let ourselves do what the opposite of that is, which is fall into pride. Let's read Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble, there is wisdom. We can't afford to be prideful and to be disgraced in front of the world. As Christians, all the things that we do in our daily lives are brought back upon us. They're brought back upon the church. They're brought back upon God. And we can't let ourselves become prideful in front of the world and become disgraced, because then the church will be judged by the world based on our actions. Instead, we have to do everything to the glory of God. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When we have this verse in mind, we can more accurately handle the good change that comes into our life or the blessings that we've been given, because we remember that everything that we do needs to honor God. And that will be seen by those in the world as well. Now, that was the fun stuff, but we as Christians also have to know how to pump the brakes, how to enjoy the good things in life when life is going well, while also keeping ourselves in check and obeying God. The first thing is pretty easy to say, but sometimes it's hard to do. Don't forget God when times are good. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. This is right after God told Israel the blessings that he was going to give them if they followed him. And we could say, oh, well, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't forget God. How could I forget God? But let me give you an example. Let's say that someone that you know, or maybe even you, is diagnosed with some kind of terrible, incurable illness. We know that God can heal even when doctors can't, so we pray. We pray every day. We pray multiple times a day. We're reading our Bibles. We're relying on God completely. Then you're healed from your illness. What happens then? We might stay with praying and thanking God for a while after it happens, but after a while, when life gets more back to normal, it can be really easy to forget what God's done for you. So we might kind of lose the reliance that we had on God when times were tough. And a lot of times, it seems like the more blessings that God gives us, the less we tend to honor him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and we'll read verse 24. Or we'll read verses 23 and 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. We can't only go to God when we need something or when we want something. When things are going well in our lives, we have to remember to still rely on God, to thank him for what he's done, because we need him just as much then as when we are asking for things. So when positive change occurs in our lives, we need to remember where the good things come from. We need to remember to do all things to the glory of Jesus, and we need to not forget God and what he's done for us. Now we've got to discuss what the Bible says about negative change, and this isn't as fun. No one enjoys when things are going wrong. Again, it's just human nature. But the Bible gives us a lot of information on how to cope effectively and how to help others cope when things are not going so well. The Bible is really, in part, designed for us to rely on it when things are going wrong. So first up, we need to talk about reacting to negative change in a negative way. And what exactly are we talking about here? This would be a change that would require the reaction, or a change that would require this reaction would be one that takes the world collectively, or even just one person that we know, farther away from God. So what do we do in that scenario? The solution is laid out actually pretty clear for us in the Bible. If the world is going away from God, we have to be a light saying, hey, you're going the wrong way. God's this way. Let's read Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. He says, that's God, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. In this verse, the Gentiles were the world, or the nations, and God's people were the Israelites, and they were to be a light to the nations around them. Now, we are God's chosen people, and the nations around us is everyone that we see on a daily basis. The people that we interact with at store, or at school, or at work, those are the nations. And we, as that song that we sing sometimes, we are the only Bible that the careless world will read. Let's think about it as a lighthouse. There's a tough sea out there. It's a popular sea for boating, but it's rough. It's super hard to navigate. There are all kinds of dangerous waves. That sea is the world. And all the people in the boats are the people of the world. If you look out there, it's just dark. It's pitch black. All the boats are in danger of being sunk by the waves. But there is one way for these boats to find themselves back to the shore, back to safety. It's a giant lighthouse. The lighthouse guides the ships in the sea back to safety. The lighthouse is God and His word through us. That lighthouse is the church. Let's imagine what happens if one day, and maybe the seas look particularly wavy and dangerous, and it starts to sink ships. The lighthouse gets discouraged and says, "No, I'm done with this. I can't handle this," and turns off the light. That'd be crazy, right? That doesn't happen. Even when things are at its worst, the lighthouse is still there. The lighthouse has to keep shining, especially for those who are lost and look hopeless. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 16. "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing that is hidden will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." That verse doesn't say, be a light when the world is being godly. It doesn't say that the light is meant for when everything is good and bright outside. The light is meant for when the world is dark. In fact, the boats need the lighthouse more when things are going wrong. Just like that, the world needs us more when things are going away from God. A second thing that kind of branches off of that is that we might have to correct someone who is sinning. Part of being that light is showing the signal to the lost. It's showing people the way that they're living is not the way that God wants them to live. And we don't like doing that. I don't like doing that. It's not comfortable, right? We don't like telling people they're wrong because they don't like hearing that they're wrong. But God tells us the way that we need to go about correcting the lost. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verses 23 through 26. "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." What if we see one person who we know is in sin? We could easily just let them live their lives because we don't want anything to do with that. But that's not what this is saying. We have to follow these steps. We have to endure what they do, but correct them with gentleness. We're not talking about yelling at them over Facebook and telling them that their whole life is terrible and that they're going to go to hell. That's not the right way to do things. We have to correct them, but with gentleness. Because if we follow these steps, God may grant them repentance. If we don't talk to these people, no one else might. We may have just cost a person heaven because we're too scared to talk to them, to tell them that what they're doing isn't right. And think of that tragedy. But if you go the other side, think about what happens if they listen, if God does grant them repentance. Just because you were brave enough to go and tell someone that what they were doing is wrong, they may earn heaven because of that. We can't be too scared to talk to people who are going the wrong way. We have to be a light in their lives. Now let's talk about finding the comfort in negative change. The Bible states time and time again how we can find comfort, even when the world is going the wrong way, even when everything looks lost. The first solution is a pretty simple fix. Remember that if you do the right thing, God is going to be with you. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and let's read verse 5 and 6. Keep your life free from a love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When times are tough, when the world is moving away from God, when everything looks hopeless, we have to cling to God. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And also, an added bonus of clinging to God in a world that's fleeing from God is that others might be persuaded by our example. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, let's read verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Other people might see what we do, and they might say, I want some of that. Because people can see the way the world is going. God is the light. They'll go to the light. And not only is God with us, but because of that, he actually commands us to be brave. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, let's look at verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And yes, that verse is talking to the leader of the tribe of Israel then, Joshua. But the sentiment remains the same. We are God's people. We have to do what is right, even when it's hard. And the world is going to do awful things to us sometimes. And it's going to be hard sometimes. But we have to hold fast to God. We have to be strong. Trust God, and you can face any change, any type of adversity in your life. And the most comforting thing, especially when the world is moving away from God, is the fact that the Bible tells us who wins in the end. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we'll read verses 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And obviously, a lot of this stuff is poetic language. A lot of it's a metaphor, but the principle is the same. When the world ends, when time stops, there are going to be two sides. There's going to be God's side and everyone else. And it doesn't matter who is with everyone else. It doesn't matter if the whole world is with everyone else. God's side is going to be the side that wins. Everyone who is on God's side gets a reward of eternal rest. So when negative changes are occurring in your life, when the world is moving away from God, when everything looks hopeless, we need to remember that no matter what, if we're on God's side and doing what he wants us to do, we're going to be the winners. So when we see that the world is moving away from God, we have to cling to God. We have to pray to him and be an example for the lost. So today, as we think about how Christians handle change, here's some things that we need to remember. All good things come from God. Remember God when times are good. Cling to Him when times are bad. And be a light to the world to show them what God would have us to do. And as we're wrapping it up, let's remember the one thing that will never change. Let's read Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God never changes. And what He expects us to do never changes. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God doesn't change His mind. So what does He expect from us? He expects our full obedience. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, that if we love Him, we're going to keep His commandments. He expects that once we know right from wrong, we follow Him. We make a commitment to Him. We repent of our sins, we throw that stuff away, and we cling to a new life through baptism. So this morning, if you have sin in your life, please come to the front. Do what God wants you to do. Cling to Him before it's too late. If you need the prayers of the church or need to be baptized, please come to the front as we stand and sing.